KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quintos, Hane, and Tales.
Welcome to Quintos, Hane, and Tales. My name is Leanna Whitaker. I am the Youth Services Librarian at the Farmington Public Library, and today I will be reading you some folk tales and fairy tales. The first book that I would like to share is called The Three Silly Girls Grub by John and Anne Hassett. Once there were three silly sisters named Grub. They came in three sizes, small, medium, and extra large. One morning, the three silly sisters missed the bus, so they had to cross the bridge to get to school. In a hole under the bridge hid Ugly Boy Bobby. Ugly Boy Bobby never went to school. He was the kind of boy who ate bugs, tossed stones at cats, and drank from puddles. The muddier, the better. The smallest of the grubs skipped over the bridge on her way to school, skippity-skip-skip. Skip. "Who's that skipping on my bridge?" grunted a voice from the hole.
"It is me," squeaked the smallest of the three. "I am on my way to school to count to 10 on my toes."
"Not before I eat your lunch," grumbled Ugly Boy Bobby.
"Oh, please do not," said the smallest girl. "I have only one jelly donut. Wait for my sister, the medium-sized grub. She brings 6 jelly donuts for her lunch."
"Go, or I will stuff toads in your sneakers," grunted Ugly Boy Bobby. The first sister ran to school as fast as her little-sized legs could go. Soon, the second sister skipped over the bridge on her way to school. Skippity-skip-skip. Skip.
"Who is that skipping on my bridge?" grunted the voice from the hole.
"It is middle-sized me," said the second of the three. "I am on my way to school to spell Bumblebee's bum."
"Not before I eat your lunch," growled Ugly Boy Bobby, gnashing his teeth.
"Oh, please do not," said the second girl. "I have only 6 jelly donuts. Wait for my sister, the biggest grub. She brings 12 jelly donuts for her lunch."
"Go, or I will tangle bats in your hair," grunted Ugly Boy Bobby.
The second sister ran to school as fast as her medium-sized legs could go. The biggest of the grubs skipped over the bridge. Skippity-skip-skip. Skip.
"Who is that skipping on my bridge?" grunted the voice.
"It is big-sized me," said the biggest of the three. "I am on my way to school to see itsy-bitsy teeny-tiny things under a microscope."
"Not before I eat your 12 jelly donuts," roared Ugly Boy Bobby, smacking his lips. He hauled himself up onto the bridge. He stomped his ugly boy feet. He shook his ugly boy fists. The extra large girl only grinned.
"You may have my 12 jelly donuts," she said. "But first, I will plant 12 mushy kisses on your little boy nose."
The biggest girl puckered up her extra-large-sized lips. Ugly Boy Bobby leaped from the bridge. He ran off to school as fast, fast, fast as his ugly boy legs could go. And he never missed school again. Nowadays, Ugly Boy Bobby is just called Robert. He can count to 10 on his fingers. He can spell Bumblebee's bum. He can see small things under a microscope if he wears his glasses. Spink, spank, spinach. This story is finished. The next story I have to share with you is a version of Rumpelstiltskin. This version is by Paul Galdone, and it is based on the original fairy tale.
Once upon a time, there was a poor miller whose only treasure was his beautiful daughter. Now it happened that the miller had to go on an errand to the king. The miller wanted to make himself appear important, so he said, "I have a daughter who can spin straw into gold."
"That is a marvelous art," replied the king, "if your daughter is as clever as you say. Bring her to my palace tomorrow, and I will put her to the test."
When the king said that, the miller regretted his boast, but he knew he must obey the king's command. As soon as the miller's daughter arrived at the palace, the king took her into a room which was full of straw. He gave her a spinning wheel and some bobbins and said,
"Now set to work, and if by dawn tomorrow you have not spun this straw into gold, you must die."
He locked the door and left the miller's daughter alone in the room. There she sat, for she had no idea how straw could be spun into gold. As the hours passed, she grew more and more frightened, and at last she began to weep. All at once the door opened, and in came a little man.
"Good evening," he said.
"Why are you crying so?"
"Alas," answered the girl, "I have to spin straw into gold, and I do not know how to do it."
"What will you give me," said the little man, "if I do it for you?"
"My necklace," said the girl. The little man took the necklace and seated himself in front of the wheel. Whirr, 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 it went, and in 3 turns the bobbin was full. He put on another, and whirr, 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 the second bobbin was full too. And so it went until dawn, when all the straw was spun and all the bobbins were full of gold. Then the little man slipped out the door. When the king arrived and saw the gold, he was astonished and delighted, but his heart only became more greedy. He had the miller's daughter taken into a larger room, which was also full of straw.
"If you value your life," he said, "you must spin this straw into gold by dawn tomorrow."
The miller's daughter looked at the pile of straw and began to cry. Just then, the door opened and the little man appeared again.
"What will you give me," said the little man, "if I spin this straw into gold for you?"
"The ring on my finger," answered the girl. The little man took the ring and began to turn the wheel again. By next morning, he had spun all the straw into glittering gold. The king rejoiced at the sight, but he was still not satisfied. He had the miller's daughter taken to an even larger room of straw and said,
"You must spin this too in the course of the night, and if you succeed, you shall be my wife."
As he locked the door, he thought,
"She may only be a miller's daughter, but I am sure I could not find a richer wife in the whole world."
When the girl was alone, the little man came for a third time and said,
"What will you give me if I spin this straw for you also?"
"I have nothing of value left," said the girl.
"Then promise me, if you should become queen, to give me your firstborn child."
"Who knows whether that will ever happen," thought the miller's daughter. So not knowing how else to help herself, she promised to give the little man what he wanted. Grinning, he sat down at the wheel and once more spun the straw into gold. When the king came in the morning, he saw all that gold. He arranged a grand marriage, and the beautiful miller's daughter became the queen. A year later, the queen gave birth to a beautiful baby daughter. She was so happy with the child that she never once thought about the little man. But one day, he suddenly appeared in her room and said,
"Now give me what you promised."
The queen was horrified and offered the little man all the riches of the kingdom if he would just let her keep her child. But the little man said,
"No, something alive is dearer to me than all the treasures in the world."
At that, the queen began to sob so loudly that the little man took pity on her.
"I will give you 3 days," he said. "If by the end of that time you find out my name, then you shall keep your child."
The queen stayed up the whole night thinking of all the names she had ever heard, and she sent a messenger out to search far and wide for other names. When the little man came to the palace the next day, the queen began with Casper, Melchior, Balthazar, and then she said all the names she knew, one after the other. But to each, the little man said,
"That is not my name."
On the second day, the queen learned the names of everyone living near the palace. When the little man came again, she selected the most unusual ones. "Perhaps your name is Short Ribs," she said,
"or Sheepshanks, or Lace Leg?"
But the man always answered,
"That is not my name."
On the third day, the messenger returned and told the queen, "I have not been able to find a single new name, but as I approached a high mountain at the end of the forest, I saw a little house. Before the house, a fire was burning, and round about the fire was a little man jumping. He hopped first on one leg, and then the other, and shouted,
'Today I brew, tomorrow I bake. The next day, the queen's young child I'll take. Soon far and wide I will spread the fame that Rumpelstiltskin is my name.'"
How glad the queen was when she heard the messenger's story. She repeated the name Rumpelstiltskin over and over. Soon afterward, the little man came in and asked,
"Now, queen, what is my name?"
At first, she said, "Is it Conrad?"
"No."
"Is it Harry?"
"No."
"Then perhaps your name is Rumpelstiltskin?"
"The devil told you that! The devil told you that!" cried the little man.
In his rage, he stamped his right foot on the ground so hard that he sank to his waist. Then he stamped his left foot so hard that he disappeared from sight. The earth fell in on top of him, and Rumpelstiltskin was never seen again. The end. So that was Rumpelstiltskin by Paul Galdone. And I have one more story that I would like to share with you today. This is called The Three Swinging Pigs by Vicki Rubin. And it is a reimagining of The Three Little Pigs and The Big Bad Wolf. Once and only once, there were three pigs who kept perfect rhythm. Satch played sax. Wee, wee, wee! Mo played bass.
Don-don-da-na, don-don-da-na.
And Ella sang scat.
Scat scooby-dooby, scat scooby-dooby, skit scat skeedle-doo-shoo.
The three swinging pigs performed in roadside dives no bigger than a trough and in dance halls huge enough to hold a herd of cattle. And wherever they played, audiences went wild. But in the Hogland Woods, there lived a wolf, and he was bad. On a typical wolf day, he ate 6 coach mice, sat down on other people's tuffets, and went around in the most unwolf-like get-ups.
"What did you expect?" he said. "I'm a classic fairy tale villain."
The wolf was not only the baddest cat to walk the land, he also had the baddest breath in the land. It's no wonder he didn't have any friends. One day, the wolf heard music on the radio.
Skit, scat, skidoodle, shoo!
The pigs!
He had to admit, the tune was catchy. His toes tapped, his claws snapped. He sang along. He couldn't help it.
Stop! He barked. I remember what their uncles did to me just because I sneezed on their bungalows. I let them get away, but these three won't.
That was the Three Swingin' Pigs with their latest hit. Don't miss the hottest jazz trio ever to hit Hogland tonight at Little Piggy Hall.
At last, said the wolf, now I can devour the Three Swingin' Pigs with barbecue sauce in front of a live audience. Little Piggy Hall, here I come.
The wolf went to buy a ticket.
Sorry, furry fellow, we're all sold out.
But I've got to eat those pigs, meet those pigs. I'm their biggest fan.
Don't be a square, Daddy-O. Don't be uptight. When I get like that, I take a deep breath and count to 10. That's right.
Ah, said the wolf. How soothing. There's the pigmobile. Feet, don't fail me now.
And off the wolf went running. Round midnight, he caught up to the pigs as they sipped a cup of Java. That's coffee, black. He was about to pounce when he heard Satch say,
tomorrow is the big pig gig at the smokehouse. We'll play so loud, we'll blow the house down.
They'll love us, he added quickly.
Say, what's that smell?
Perfect, said the wolf. I will swallow them in one gulp in front of all of Hogland. Soon, those silly swinging swine will be hoof notes in musical history.
The next night, the ticket line at the smokehouse stretched all the way to the forest.
Stupid pig fans, the wolf snorted. Ridiculous! I don't want any souvenirs!
Finally, he reached the window.
Front row seat!
Sorry, sir. All I've got is one back in the hallway near the restrooms.
Oh, for goodness. All right.
The aisles were filled with fans tapping their toes, snapping their claws, and singing along with the Three Swingin' Pigs. The wolf elbowed his way forward, using his bad breath to clear the way. At last, he got to the front. Mo was playing bass,
do-dun-da-da, do-dun-da-da,
and Ella was singing,
scat-scooby-dooby, scat-scooby-dooby, scat-skit-skit-scoodle-dee-doo.
The wolf felt his toes starting to tap and his claws starting to snap. He heard himself singing along.
Stop! He barked.
Did you hear that? Said Satch.
I smell it. It's the wolf, said Mo.
Our uncles warned us this could happen.
Don't flip your lid. Don't snap your cap. Just stay cool, boys, Ella cooed.
Music soothes the stinky beast.
I hope you're right, said Satch and Mo. Now I'm going to sing a song, Ella called out. And when I sing, everybody sing after me. But first, how about a volunteer up here? You, sir, in the natty suit.
Me? Said the wolf. Was she crazy?
Yes, you, Daddy-O. What's your name?
Wolfie? Said the wolf, trembling.
All those eyes were staring at him.
Big bad Wolfie. You know, our uncles met you way back when. What was it you said to them? I said I would huff, and I'd puff, and I'd blow the house down.
Ella called out, sing it.
He'll huff, and he'll puff, and he'll blow the house down.
The audience sang,
he'll huff, and he'll puff, and he'll blow the house down.
Sing it, Wolfie, said Ella.
I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow the house down,
he squeaked.
Let's hear it for Wolfie, Ella called.
The audience mooed and brayed. It stamped and snorted.
Yeah, Wolfie!
Now, let's see you huff and puff, she said. Wolfie took a deep breath.
Ella sang,
Scooby-Doo-Wah, Scooby-Doo-Woo, Satch, please help this old wolf blow.
Satch put his sacks into the wolf's open chompers. Played Wolfie. The crowd practically stampeded.
Hooray!
They all shouted. No one had ever cheered for Wolfie before. In fact, no one had ever liked Wolfie before. He was enjoying this. But wait, he still had to eat the pigs.
Farewell, my little ham bones.
Wolfie, said Ella, wouldn't you rather make music, sweet music, than eat 3 perspiring pigs?
But, I'm supposed to, said Wolfie, though I also want, let me take a time out.
He took a deep breath.
Yes, if I eat you pudgy porkers, I won't be able to howl with the band. And at last I've found what I really love. It's music, sweet music.
And he howled,
"Ah-woo!"
Have a cool peppermint for your wolf breath, said Mo.
Thanks, said Wolfie.
Ella called out, ladies and gentlemen, meet our newest member, Wolfie, the biggest, baddest howling wolf in all the land. And everybody sang,
skit, scat, skedaddle, skit, scat, skedaddle, skit, scat, skedaddle, oh.
And that is the end of The 3 Swingin' Pigs by Vicki Rubin. We'd like to thank you so much for listening to Quintos, Hane, and Tales. Again, my name is Leanna Whitaker. I am the Youth Services Librarian at the Farmington Public Library. And the 3 stories that you heard today are all folk tales and fairy tales from our 398.2 section in the Juvenile Nonfiction Collection. We hope that if you enjoy what you heard, you'll come by the library and check out a book. You can also visit the library's website at www.infoway.org to see if we have the book that you are looking for, or the movie, DVD, CD, any formats we have at the library. So we hope to see you soon.
This has been Quintos, Hane, and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.